Church, and I'm just really looking forward to the rest of the service, and thank you for all your participation.
Amen. Is anyone happy to be in the house of the Lord this morning? Praise the Lord. I tell you, I love to see the Holy Spirit moving in our midst. I love to see the freedom to worship the way you want to worship him. And I just encourage you to get more and more in tune with God. Amen. So if you have your Bibles, turn to John, the 8th chapter. John 8, verse 32, we read this last week, we're going to read it again. Help if I got an 8, wouldn't it? Then said Jesus unto those Jews which believed on him, if you continue in my word, then you are my disciples indeed, and you shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. Anybody here desire to be free? Yes. Amen. You know, we celebrate freedom. We celebrate what God has done for us. We celebrate that we have more freedoms in this country than in any place else in the world. And freedom is a good thing. That's what Jesus came to do. Set the captive free, amen? We could enjoy the freedom down through from the beginning. We talked about Romans 5:8, that Jesus was the one that died for us to give us that freedom, amen? Yeah. We're going to pick it up in 1 Peter this morning. 1 Peter 5:8. Because freedom is not necessarily free. How many of you know that? Freedom costs a lot. First Peter 5:8 says, "Be sober. Be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, as a roaring lion, walketh about seeking whom he may devour, whom resist steadfast in the faith, knowing that the same afflictions are accomplished in your brethren that are in the world." You see, to stay free takes vigilance. It takes a watch. It takes having your eyes open and knowing what's going on around you. The word vigilant in the Greek is the word gregorio, and it means to keep awake. That is to watch, to be vigilant. To wake, to watch. In the military term, it would be to stand watch, looking out over, seeing if the enemy's coming. You see, we have enemies, not only of our country, but of our souls. But the problem is the church has not been very vigilant. We've allowed the enemy to come in and almost steal our freedom. He was close. He was very close to stealing our freedom. And I'm still not sure if we're out of the woods yet. Now, I'm not trying to get political on you, but we have a problem within our society today. We were not vigilant, and we allowed prayer to be taken out of school. 1962 Supreme Court ruling. And we see where we're at today. We took the Bible out of school. And we see where we're at today. We've got folks that are fighting hard to get prayer back into school on a volunteer basis, to get the Word of God back in the school on a volunteer basis. But the church is facing opposition. We need to be vigilant. We need to know. We need to watch. We need to pray diligently. We're in a spiritual battle for the very life of our country. See, God's not dead. What did we just hear, those statistics? God's not dead. God's not put his hand off of us, but we've done the same thing that Israel did. We start off good and we follow God for a while, and then we turn our back on him and watch the drifting go back. And we start backsliding and thinking we're still okay. Well, I'm here to tell you, folks, in this country, we are not okay. We've got an enemy that wants to destroy us. And that enemy is Satan. He may use men, he may use other countries that want to take us into captivity, the same way that happened with Israel, but the true enemy is Satan. And the true way to freedom is to follow after God with everything that's within us. I woke up this morning about 2 a.m. The words to this Carmen song were on my heart, and I couldn't do anything but sing it. I don't know if I woke my wife up when I played it the first time, but it was about maybe 2:30 when I found it. But the words to this song that Carmen wrote says, George Washington, Thomas Jefferson, Samuel Adams, First Chief Justice John Jay, named synonymous with the spirit of our country, founding fathers of the USA. Over 250 years ago, they shook off the chains of tyranny from Great Britain by divine call. Citing 27 biblical violations, they wrote the Declaration of Independence with liberty and justice for all. When they wrote the Declaration of Independence, it was liberty and justice for all, not just for the upper class. But you see, I don't like to call it the Declaration of Independence, because it's not. It's a declaration of dependence. Dependence on God Almighty to keep us a free nation. Yet we have those who try to tell us our nation is not founded on biblical principles. If it wasn't founded on biblical principles, we would be in the same condition that most other countries are in today. We would be in virtual slavery. We would be subject to the rules of whatever potentate or king or whatever they call them just so happened to make. And that's the same thing that our founding fathers found themselves in. That a king was going to decide what was going to happen. And instead, they looked to God Almighty and said, God, we want to follow you. And so they wrote this declaration. The words of the song go on and say, we eliminated God from the equation of American life, thus eliminating the reason this nation first began. From beyond the grave, I hear the voices of our founding fathers plead, you need God and America again. Of the 55 men who formed the Constitution, 52 were active members of their church. Founding fathers like Noah Webster, who wrote the first dictionary, could literally quote the Bible chapter and verse. And we're not talking about just a few chapters and a few verses. He could quote the Bible from generation to Genesis to Revelation. Started to add the two together. The man was so intelligent and so in tune with God, and so knowing that it was the Word of God was his very, very existence, that he could literally quote the Word all the way through. I've only known one other person in my life that could do such a thing. He was about, what, 15 years old, Jeanette? We were at a revival meeting in Godly, Texas, a place that wasn't very godly, believe me. And the dad, he was bragging on his son how he could quote the scripture, and he says, if anybody doesn't believe me that he can quote the scripture from Genesis to Revelation, call out a passage. People started shouting out passages, and sometimes he had to think a minute, but all of a sudden he'd come up with the passage, and he was right every stinking time. He could quote the scriptures from Genesis to Revelation. Now, I'm not saying we have to do that. It's a good thing, because I can't do that. But I know what the scripture says. I know what the scripture tells me to do. And it tells me I must be vigilant if I want to keep my freedom. Because there's an adversary that is out to steal that freedom from me. He wants to take it away from me physically in this world. He wants to take it away from me spiritually in the next world. And he will do everything he can to see that I fall and I walk away from God and I turn my back on him. But you see, I've got a declaration of dependence. Amen? I'm dependent on Jesus Christ. I'm dependent on God's word to keep me on the straight and narrow. That's why I don't miss church. I don't miss church. I want to find out what God's going to do today. You know, I want to see what God's up to today. Because I know that it only takes a couple times to get out of the habit. Now, if you miss church to go on a family vacation or something, don't get me wrong. I'm not condemning you. We all do. I'm just saying, as a rule, I don't miss church. Because I want to see what God's going to do. Amen? There you go, Penny. Shake that handkerchief. Amen. God is still alive and functioning in our works today, in everything that we do, in our church services, in our private life. He is wanting to be so involved. The song goes on. I may not get much past this. James Madison said, we've staked our future on our ability to follow the Ten Commandments with all of our heart. This is a founding father. He said, we've staked our fortunes. He was a rich man, but he staked his fortune on the ability to follow the Word of God with everything that was in him. These men believed you couldn't even call yourself an American if you subvert the Word of God. One of the things that's in our Constitution that I wish wasn't And most of these men wish wasn't, was that there would be no litmus test to serve in government. That means they couldn't tell them you've got to be in your church to serve in government. Well, we see that where that's got us, right? But yet, I believe it was 9, it might have been 10 of the 13 colonies had a law before the revolution that if you wanted to represent your state, you had to be a member in good standing with the endorsement of your pastor to serve in local government. Praise God, that's the way it should be. That's the way it should be. We'd have a lot less problems. In his farewell address, Washington, our first president, says you can't have national morality apart from religious principle. That's our first president. We need to get back to the roots that we started this nation. 250 years, and we're so far away from our foundation because we, the church, have not been vigilant. We've not been taking warfare seriously. And so the enemy has taken us captive. We may not feel captive, but that's because we're deceived. We're captive in our own country. Just 2 weeks ago, Fort Worth, Texas, Bible Belt, Fort Worth, Texas, preachers are out preaching. Police officer comes up to him and she says, if you make anybody uncomfortable, I'm going to write you a ticket. Fort Worth, Texas. Just before COVID, we were talking about this morning. Just before COVID, how many of you remember that Houston, Texas, the Bible Belt of America, Houston, Texas sent out a decree to every church, you will submit your sermons to us so we can approve them before you preach them. Anybody remember that? Houston, Texas, we're talking about places where the Bible is strong, where people still believe. We're not talking about San Francisco. Why? Because the enemy was alive and well and desperately trying to destroy the voice of God within our communities. But at least the church was vigilant. The church was awake. I forget there were several pastors were arrested because they refused. And the Supreme Court stepped in and says, uh-uh. Can't do it. But you see, when we're not vigilant, these things start coming upon us. And when they get to a certain place, there's no turning it around except for a miracle of God. Amen? And we can see it over and over in Scripture. If you just read the Old Testament. Oh, brother, I don't like the Old Testament. It does. Yeah. Read it. The Old Testament's got a lot of good stuff in it because it keeps us out of a lot of trouble if we don't do what they did. And it keeps us following God if we do the right things. Amen? But we're not going to last another 250 years unless we begin to fight the battle that is before us. And I'm not talking about in man's way. I'm talking about in God's way. He says he's given us the armor to do what? Fight the battle. Stand. Don't let them walk all over us. The 1940s and 50s, this is still Carmen's song. The 1940s and 50s, student problems were chewing gum, talking. In the 90s, tell you how old this song is. In the 90s, rape and murder in our schools are the trend. The only way this nation can even hope to last this decade is to put God in America again. The only hope for America is Jesus. The only hope for our country is Him. If we repent of our ways, stand firm and say, we need God in America again. These are the words to that song. And they were so going through my heart because it's been on my heart so much lately. Because we don't see what's going on if we're not paying attention. We no longer have conservative and liberal. We now have conservative and democratic social. What do they call it? DC, Democratic Social something. Basically socialism, communism, trying to push it their way into our country. We won't last another 100 or 250 years. Unless we get diligent, unless the church follows 2 Chronicles 7:14. If my people who are called by my name would humble themselves, turn from their wicked ways, and seek my face. You see, that's what we have to do. Proclaim the word of God. Granted, the world doesn't want to hear the word of God. Don't raise your hand, I'll raise it for you. How many of you before you were saved wanted to hear the word of God? Not many. I know I didn't. I fought it like crazy. But it didn't change anything. The word of God is still the word of God. And God says that He's not going to send His word out to return void, but it's going to accomplish what He wants it to accomplish. He was drawing me, He was calling me, and He was going to make sure that it accomplished what He wanted it to accomplish. And it's no different today. You know, it may get frustrating when we have friends and relatives, neighbors and people that don't want to hear the word of God and even call us bad names because we talk about the word of God. But that's okay. What does James say? Be cheerful when things come against you. I'm paraphrasing. Be cheerful when things come against you. It's okay. Because they did the same thing to Jesus. Especially the religious establishment didn't want to hear what Jesus had to say. So it takes vigilance. It takes standing our post. I don't know about anybody else, but I know that if I hadn't stood my post when I was in the military and went to sleep, the best thing that would have happened to me is I'd have gone to prison. The worst thing that would have happened to me is they could have executed me. How many Christians today are asleep on their post? How many Christians today have their heads stuck in the sand? How many Christians today just think that God's got it all in control and I don't have to do anything and he's just going to cause everything to happen? Nowhere in his word does he say that. Now the end's going to happen the way he wants it to. But what about in between? How many souls are lost and burning in hell because we're not vigilant, because we're not standing our post, because we're not willing to fight the battle? How many of our friends and loved ones have gone on into eternity without knowing the Lord? And are spending an eternity in torment. Oh, but brother, that's just, that's not how it's going to be. God's got mercy. No, that's what God's word says. That's what God's word says. And I don't want my worst enemy. I don't know who they are, but I don't want my worst enemy to go to hell. I don't want to see anybody, in China or Russia or Iran or Iraq or Afghanistan, any of those. I don't want to see any of them go to hell. That's not the place they need to be. But if I'm not vigilant and if I'm not sharing the word of God, if I'm not standing on those principles that what we were founded on, that's exactly what happens. And the enemy wins. We have a duty to keep our freedom. And it's the duty of the church. It's not the duty of the government. It's the duty of the church. The government is just supposed to be our representative. But it's the duty of the church to be vigilant. I'm going to take us to Ephesians, or 2 Timothy. Let's go to 2 Timothy 2. Verses 3 and 4. Thou therefore, in other words, he's saying you, endure hardness as a good soldier of Jesus Christ. No man that warreth entangles himself with the affairs of this life, that he may please him who hath chosen him to be a soldier. Do you understand this morning? You were chosen to be a soldier. And what Timothy is telling us here, and Paul to Timothy, what he's telling us here is that we don't entangle ourselves with the things of the world. In other words, fix our eyes upon Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith. Amen? Get to looking in the right place. Get to standing our ground. Don't let the enemy have any of it. Start proclaiming God's word over our lives. Start proclaiming God's word over our government. Start proclaiming God's word over our nation. We're mandated to pray for those who are in authority over us. And that means everyone from our city councils all the way up to our national representatives and the Supreme Court, the President, our Congress, our senators. We're mandated to pray for them. Now, some people think I'm a little bit crazy, and that's okay. I probably am. But I pray a certain way. I pray for our senators and congressmen, our president, our Supreme Court leaders, and all the way down. And I pray for them in a specific manner every time. I say, God, send someone that can share with them the love of Jesus and convert their souls. But if they refuse, then get them out of office so that they're not influencing the things in this country. Simple prayer. But I've seen it happen over and over because that's what God desires. We need to be to endure hardness. This word hardness is in the Greek is the word kapotheithio, and it means to undergo hardship, to be afflicted, to endure afflictions, to suffer trouble. Oh, brother, that don't sound too fun. You're right, it doesn't sound too fun. But I'm sure Jesus didn't think it was too fun when he was having his back beaten to shreds. I'm sure he didn't think it was too fun when he poured out his arms and laid them on the cross and let them drive those nails in. And as they stood him up, I'm sure he didn't think it was too fun. It wasn't something that he relished, except the fact he looked down and he says, I see lost souls coming to the kingdom of God. We need to endure that hardness, to endure the name calling, to endure what the chains and imprisonment. It's okay. Now, some people aren't quite as radical as I am, and that's okay. But when they came to us in California, we were pastoring California, Orville, California. They came to us and said, and this came from our bishop, we have to close the churches because of COVID. Took me about 3 seconds to get on the phone and say, Bishop, I am not going to do that. I am going to disobey. And Bishop says, good. He said, good. I'm glad you have the gumption to stand. Did it make enemies? I'm sure it probably did. But you know what? I don't care. I got enemies already. We never closed but for one service. And it was only because we had somebody that was exposed, that I was exposed. And so out of abundance of precaution, we closed one service and did it online only. As soon as we found out we weren't contagious, hey, back to it we went. I told everybody the same thing. If you're uncomfortable and just want to watch online because of what your condition physically is, that's okay. There's no condemnation. It's just I'm not going to do it. Our church never dropped numbers. We have to endure the hardness that the world tries to bring us. We have to stand firm and vigilant because that's our duty to preserve freedom. Our freedom in this country, how many of you realize just how precarious it is? It is very, very precarious. Mitch McConnell, how many of you know who he is? In the hospital, severe heart attack. Nobody knows his condition because they won't release it. His wife goes to China to meet with the number two person in China. Number two. And yet she was our secretary of something under one of the previous administrations. She goes to China to meet with our enemies. We have sitting congressmen going overseas and meeting with our enemies. Do you understand that our situation is so precarious? Because we have enemies that want to destroy us because of what we stand for. Our Vice President, J.D. Vance, just announced last week that once again this nation will be called a Christian nation. He's getting all kind of beat up over it. I declare that this nation will be called a Christian nation. And if not everywhere, then at least right here under my feet, this is going to be a Christian nation. Amen? There you go. Praise God. But in order to do that, we've got to endure hardness. Ephesians 6. We've talked about this scripture before, but we're going to go through it again. Verse 18 says, praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit. Oh, brother, you're preaching about tongues again. You better believe it. Praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, and watching thereunto with all perseverance and supplication for all saints. That means that I have to persevere for all the saints, you and everyone around me. I have to pray in the Spirit. Why do I need to pray in the Spirit? Because I don't know everything. Anybody else here know everything? No, okay. I don't know everything, so I don't know how I have to pray all the time. But Paul's telling us in Corinthians that when we don't know how to pray, we begin to pray in the Holy Ghost. And the Holy Ghost begins to pray according to the Spirit of God. That is our most powerful tool. If you're not filled with the Holy Spirit, with evidence of speaking in tongues, I suggest you get to the altar and get filled with the Holy Spirit. Amen? That's it. Shake it. Shake it. Amen. I'm not ashamed of the Holy Spirit. A lot of groups out there are. That's okay. If they don't want it, I want him. Because I need him. I need him. Because I don't always know how to pray. I don't always know how to present things to God. But God knows. And when I release the Holy Spirit as he's praying through me, my spirit's praying with the Holy Spirit, and the two connect with God's Spirit, and that changes things. Amen? We need to have perseverance. That means we need to do it all the time. The word perseverance in the Greek is proskarteiasis, and it means persistency, perseverance. It means we do it all the time. It's not to, I do it once and forget about it. It means that I continue, and I do it all the time. I persevere. There's so many examples in the scriptures of people who persevered, of people who stood when it didn't look like they were going to win. But you know what? When they persevered, God stepped in And when we persevere, God steps in and he changes the very elements around us if he has to. He changes the way things are. He changes the whole world's, I don't know what word I'm looking for. But he changes everything because he is in control when we allow him and put him in control. Amen? I'm going to tell you, I was told to go ahead and preach when the Holy Spirit moves. That's okay. So if you're planning on getting out of here at 11:30, sorry, not going to happen. That's okay. If you get up and run out on me, okay. So I'll tell you to blame them instead of me. How's that? We have to persevere. James 5, starting at verse 13. Is any among you afflicted? Let him pray. Is any merry? Let him sing psalms. Is any sick among you? Let him call for the elders of the church and let them pray over him, anointing him with oil in the name of the Lord. And the prayer of faith shall save the sick, and the Lord shall raise him up, and he shall have, if he have committed sins, they shall be forgiven him. This is an ordinance of the church. What we're told to do. I love it when God just gets me out of the way and does what he wants to do like he did last week. People come into the altar to get healed, and I didn't say a word, didn't get to preach, it was coming before, getting healed during anointed worship, amen? You can be healed during anointed worship. You don't have to wait for us, but if you wait for us, then you need to call the elders of the church. Come up to the prayer. We have prayer warriors who know how to pray, aren't afraid to pray. We need to edify one another, and that means build each other up. We need to have each other's back. When one feels down, we pick them up. Instead, half the time when somebody feels down, the church kicks them out. I hope that's never happened here. But I know it does happen. We need to have each other's back. We need to have a group of friends around us that we can pick up the phone and call and say, hey, I got a problem today. I got an enemy that's wanting to destroy me, and I feel it. Can you pray with me? Knowing that that person is going to pray. Knowing that that person is going to have our back and lift us up and hold our arms up like Aaron and Hur held Moses' arms up. Romans 14. Verses 16 through 19. Let not then your good be evil spoken of. For the kingdom of God is not meat and drink, but righteousness and peace and joy. Oh, here's that word again in the Holy Ghost. Amen? Amazing how God likes us to be in the Holy Ghost. Amen? The kingdom of God is righteousness and peace and joy in the Holy Ghost. For he that is in these things serveth Christ is acceptable to God and approved of men. Let us therefore follow after the things which make for peace, and things wherewith one may edify another. And Paul is talking to the church of Rome here because they were having a quabble over whether they could eat this meat or that meat. And he's basically telling them, look, come to terms and have peace with each other. If you're with a group of people and they don't believe in eating unclean meat according to the Old Testament, then don't eat it. It's okay. But if you're with a group of people and they think it's okay, then eat it. It's okay. He's telling them to come together, not fight amongst each other. So many times, boy, my doctrine's the right doctrine. My doctrine's the one that is scriptural. Outside of Jesus Christ and Him crucified and risen from the dead, there's nothing else that really matters. Amen? Because it doesn't affect whether or not we're going to heaven. It's just the way it is. The word edify used here is okatomai, and it's a compound of two words, and it means architecture, that is concretely a structure, figuratively confirmation, building, edify. In other words, to build up. If my words tear you down, they're not edifying. Amen? If my words tear somebody else down, they're not edifying words. And I should never be in the place where my words are tearing people down. I'm called to build people up, to help them walk in God's way. Amen? Don't get quiet on me. We're only 4 minutes after. I'll get there. We need to build each other up in everything we do, everything we say. If that means that I have to swallow my pride and not talk about certain aspects of the church that I believe that they don't believe, so be it. I just don't talk about them. Simple as that. As long as it doesn't affect salvation. Because they're not my enemy. Amen? 1 Corinthians 12. Paul's talking about the Holy Spirit and the gifts of the Spirit. I'm not going to go through the gifts of the Spirit, but you should read from verse 1 and see what he's talking about. He says, but all these gifts of the Holy Spirit, all these gifts of the Holy Spirit works that one and the selfsame Spirit, dividing to every man severally as he will, for as the body That's where I'm at. Had to stop. I was getting confused here because my Bible's in two different languages and I was looking at Spanish and sorry about that. But as the body is one and has many members, and all the members of the one body being many are one body, so also is Christ. For by one Spirit we are all baptized into one body. You hear that? Whether we be Jews or Gentiles, whether we be bond or free, and have been all made to drink into one spirit, for the body is not one member, but many. Now here's the good part. If the foot shall say, because I am not of the body, is it therefore not of the body? If the whole body were an eye, where's the hearing? If the whole were hearing, where's the smelling? But now hath God set the members, every one of them in the body, as it has pleased him. And if they were all one member, where were the body? We are all members of the body of Christ. And we have a duty as the body of Christ to be vigilant, to be awake and watching, to take part, to vote. I'm not going to tell you who to vote for. Read the scriptures and read what they stand for. Make your own mind up. It ought to be easy. But not everybody is going to believe that, and that's okay. But if we're not vigilant and watching and diligent and perseverant, then what happens is the enemy comes in and the lies start deceiving. And when the lies start deceiving, people start believing it. Part of that song that Carmen wrote says that the philosophy of the schoolhouse in one generation will be the philosophy of the government in the next. And I don't know, pretty much most of you guys here are born in the 60s or later. A few of you not. Most of you were. You can see the difference. Amen? You can see what before prayer was taken out of school, before God was kicked out of every platform, before the church was told to stay quiet, and how things have changed because we're not allowed, quote unquote, to share the word of God. Some places we can't even share it with our own family. I forget where it was. I was reading about a young lady and her either preteens or teens, that the court stepped in and told one of her parents, I don't remember whether it was the father or the dad, the father or the mother. Father or the dad, is that the same thing? It was either the father or mother. The court stepped in and said, you cannot take your daughter to church because the other one doesn't want it. Court stepped in and said that. Why? Because the church hasn't been vigilant. The church hasn't been awake. In fact, if you were around in the 40s and 50s, you remember that from the pulpit, preachers used to preach, don't get involved in politics. That's a worldly thing. I'm here to tell you that politics is what runs this country. And politics is what causes us to either have or lose our freedom. Can we be free outside of that? Oh, yeah. Look at the church in China. Look at the church in the New Testament. They were free. They just weren't free. That makes sense. They were free in the spirit. They still preached the word. They just paid the price for it. We need to be vigilant and watching. We need to work together as a body. Hebrews 12, and I'm going to close with this. Should I do like some of them do, my first closing, second closing, third closing? Hebrews 12, verses 14 and 15. Follow the Lord, looking diligently, lest any man fail of the grace of God, lest any root of bitterness springing up trouble you, and thereby many are defiled. How many of you remember the definition of holiness? Hagiosmos, root word, hagos, meaning consecrated, set apart, cleansed for God's, what's the word I'm looking for?
Exclusive use.
That ought to be a word we really get down in our spirits. For God's exclusive use. I know I was looking this word up in a newer lexicon, and it didn't have that in there. It just said consecrated, set apart for God's use. And I thought, man, that's really watering that down. That really takes away, because originally it was for God's exclusive. In other words, it can't be used for anything else. That's what I want to be. I want to be holy, acceptable unto God. I don't want to be used by the enemy ever. I don't want to be in heaven and have people point their fingers at me when they're standing before the great white throne judgment saying, "He never told me." Not going to give them an excuse. But I almost wonder if that's not the tears that God's got to wipe away in heaven when I see what I could have done and what I didn't. Amen? If we want to keep our freedom, both spiritually and in the natural, we need to be vigilant, diligent, watchful, because we have an enemy, the devil, looking to devour us. Amen? If we could have our prayer team come forward.